Blog Talk Radio.
Before I bring my knees, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I want to know.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Bray,
Sam Fishman,
AJ.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to your place. Tonight we're going to be taking a look at Jesus during Christmas. Last week we had sick people, namely me, and something weird going on with the studio. It could be this week too, but we're going to pray. Because of all of this, we had to cancel last week's show. We're so sorry we had to do this. It was unavoidable. Tonight we're bringing you last week's scheduled show this week. And since it had a week to simmer, hopefully this show will even be better this week. And as always, we don't claim that our show is the final say on the topic, and that's why we open up the mics at the end of the show so you can share your comments or even ask questions. Tonight's show takes you back to the time of Jesus in a different way than most people during this time of year. We hope that you find it as thought-provoking as we did. And let's have a listen.
Joseph and her family, she was not showing. She went and visited her cousin Elizabeth, who had conceived John the Baptist in her old age. Mary stayed and fellowshipped and visited with Elizabeth for 3 months. So by the time Mary now returns to her family and to Joseph, she's showing her pregnancy. What else could Joseph think except that this woman who was his wife and his wife-to-be had been unfaithful and she was carrying another man's baby? Joseph, no doubt, was heartbroken, as were her parents and his parents, the entire family and friends. To be a Jewess 2,000 years ago and to be pregnant out of wedlock was among the most shameful things that could ever take place. There was a real sense of shame and dishonor associated with being unfaithful before marriage, to being immoral. What could Joseph think? Imagine what was going on in his mind. Think about her parents. Think about his parents and how they must have felt. There's only one thing they could assume. She had been immoral. She was carrying another man's child. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced that she was to be the mother of Jesus Christ, Mary asked the question, How can this be, seeing that I know not a man? The angel explained it to her. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, shall overshadow thee. And the thing which shall be conceived in thee shall be of the Holy Ghost. That this was a divine miracle of God. That of all of the women of history, Mary, this young Jewish girl from Nazareth, a poor town, beautifully situated with a panoramic view of Israel and the snow-capped mountains a few miles away, a beautiful little town, I've been there, but poor. And most of the people that lived there were uneducated and very poor. It was also noted as not being the cleanest town in the land of Israel. To show you how insignificant the city of Nazareth was, the loquacious Josephus, the most notable Jewish historian, I suppose, of all, who wrote copiously about everything, everyone, every city. He was just meticulous in detail and loquacious in his description of history. He named over 200 cities in his Antiquities and never once mentioned the city of Nazareth. That's how insignificant the city was. You and I would never have known about this couple, Mary and Joseph. Joseph, a poor carpenter. Mary, a poor Jewess. Except for the fact that God chose her and him, her to be the mother of our Lord and him to be the guardian father of our Lord. What a woman she was. And we delved into her character, her integrity, and her honor last Wednesday night as we studied the life of Mary and Joseph. By the way, that Bible study is online. If you'd like to go to the website, you can view that. Now Joseph realizes in his mind, in his heart, his bride is untrue. But the Bible says he's a just man. Well, of course he's a just man. He's the man that God wants to be the guardian father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here, folks, God did not choose rich parents for Jesus. God did not choose wealthy, dignified, affluent, politically prestigious and powerful parents. He selected men, a man and a woman of integrity and honor, character and godliness. The financial circumstances of Joseph and Mary's life were irrelevant. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God would certainly supply the needs of Joseph and Mary in the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby and as a boy. It was not economics, it was not money, it was not wealth, it was not position, it was not power. It was internal character, honor, and integrity that God chose when he looked for parents for the Lord Jesus. Now, Joseph is a just man. A part of justice is also kindness, mercy, and love. Justice without kindness, mercy, and love is not justice. It is tyranny. He's a just man, but he's also a man of kindness and love. And he loves Mary. He loves her with all of his heart, in spite of what he thought she had done. He loved her. And though his character would not allow him to violate the scripture and marry her because of her infidelity, he did not want to make her a public example, as he could have done according to Mosaic law, and have her publicly tried in court, found guilty as he would be the chief witness for the prosecution, and have her executed by stoning, which was his right under the Mosaic law. But he loved her. And though he was determined that he must put her away, she had forfeited the right of being his wife. He was not going to humiliate her. He was not going to put her up to trial. And he certainly was not going to prosecute her and have her stoned. He would put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, my friends, do not diminish the importance of thought. I don't know what it is about some Christians that have this idea that if a man thinks for himself, he must be out of God's will. I actually heard a pastor from the pulpit say those very words. He said, if a man thinks for himself, he's out of God's will. I guess he wants everybody else to be a robot like he is. And that's one of the things that I so despise about legalistic Christianity. It is filled with robots. And I promise you, God does not want you to be a robot. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be white as wool. Let us reason together. God gave us a mind for a reason, no pun intended. While he thought on these things, calculated it, mulled it, tried to make sense of it, put his mind at work on it. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, not identified by name, but I'm confident it is the same Gabriel that appeared to Mary not long before, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Several things here. Gabriel came to Zacharias in the temple, and the first thing he said to Zacharias, remember? Fear not. To Mary, when he appeared to her, the first thing he said, fear not. And now to Joseph, he says, fear not. I just want to again mention what I said a little bit at length last Sunday. I want to repeat today. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't let what all these doomsdayers and these doom and gloomers say discourage you. If you got to get your face out of the internet long enough to get in the Bible a little bit, do it. It'll help you. God is still on the throne. And as long as you and I are alive and the heart beats for freedom in our breast, as it does, freedom is not dead. Get out of the doldrums. Get out of the doldrums. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? We have a God in heaven. We have the power of His might. We have the promises of His word. We are His children. We fight for the principles that He taught. We have Him and His angelic host as allies. How dare we be discouraged? How dare we allow people to put us under the throes of discouragement and defeatism and woe is me and there's nothing we can do and it's hopeless and the enemy's going to win? No, they're not! They are not going to win. I mean, to tell you, if I was like some of these people that, I mean, they just dwell on the negative, they dwell on the defeated, they dwell on the discouragement, what in the world kind of a life is that? Why do we even fight? Why are we here? Why do we move to Montana and start Liberty Fellowship? Why do we have that camera back there? Why do I write the columns? Why do we do what we do? If it's all over, if the enemy's won, if there's nothing we can do, it's all hopeless. Why do anything? We fight because it's not over. We fight because we are going to win. We fight because the enemies of God and the enemies of freedom are not going to prevail, folks. They're not. Doesn't mean you're not going to have rough times. Doesn't mean you're not going to have times of difficulty and trial and affliction. So be it. It's always been that way. Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Question. Did Mary even bother to tell Joseph that she had been conceived of the Holy Spirit? The Bible doesn't say. If she had told him, would he have believed her? It doesn't say. My personal opinion is, she did not tell him. I believe in her heart, she knew that there's nothing she could say, humanly speaking, that would make anyone believe her. Would you have believed it if your fiancé came to you pregnant and you knew it wasn't yours and said, oh, I've been conceived of the Holy Ghost? Case closed. What could she say that would make anyone believe her? All I need is you.
My time zone, when my mind's gone and I'm flying home and I'm stressed out and I'm tempted to get that style phone and go pull it up, but you know what's up and you know that ain't gonna solve nothing. I mean, Lord forbid, I might fall or something and I'm all another, cause
all I need is you
to hold me down like bitch strapped to the psych ward. It's killing me, but you still with me when I fight hard. And you digging me when I'm egging you. Deal with me when my car's pulled. Could've dealt with me, but you fell for me before I fell for you. Keep me on that right path and the right math. It's you plus nothing's everything. You my everything. Same. You ain't gotta question my allegiance, cause the way you love me, I can never leave. I need you.
By my side, thick and thin, high and low, don't let go. We gon' ride, we gon' win.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dave Bray.
Sam Fishman.
AJ Larson.
I am so sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on, but anyway, technical difficulties again, and I don't know what's going on. But the devil must really be happy. What do you think, Blog Talk Mom?
Oh, I just think that it was time for us to talk.
Oh, great. I hope you're ready.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what's going on.
I know. It was coming every which way. But I do appreciate what the gentleman was saying about, you know, we've probably heard the story, well, I have, of exactly, not necessary biblically, but how just the angel appeared and, you know, it was so simple. But it was not simple. It was extremely complicated. And we have a lot of things that we can learn from that, because all of us, we may not be that extreme as far as Mary and Joseph, but we all are called. Well, there's a purpose for all of us. We all are called, and we all must believe what the Word of God says, and not because it is very easy to slip into self-pity, confusion, depression. You know, we all know the statistics for this time of year. People are spending more money and probably going more in debt, misunderstandings, memories. That story, that statement that I've heard it and you have too, but it seemed so real to me yesterday. History, yesterday is history, and tomorrow is mystery, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present, and that's why, you know, you've heard that, but isn't it amazing, Sister Starla, how you can hear something 100 times and then all of a sudden it just is quickened or made alive to you? And that statement, when I read that, I thought, wow, you know, yesterday's history. You know, we can't change yesterday. We can learn from it, though, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I do believe that. And we do learn from history.
And it's one of the best teachers, really, to teach us not to do the same thing again, for sure. And when we bring it to God and recognize that it was the historical moment that we surrendered it to Him and realized who He was, and that He was I was speaking to someone this week about, they didn't believe. They just didn't believe. They didn't believe the Bible. They didn't believe in God, you know, they said. But if you just took the one point that the Bible, that one book, the brevity, how brief for one book to cover all of history, all of everything we need to know about salvation, about living victorious, about the return of Christ, it's amazing to me. And the supernatural way that you can read it, and then all of a sudden you get something, same scripture, you read it over and over, heard it preached, but then it's alive and it speaks to you in your situation, you know, in our situation. Today, I went to the doctor for a blood test or whatever that they do, and the Gideon Bible was there. There were several, like six of them. And I opened one up, and in the very first few pages, it takes a subject and it gives a scripture, one or two scriptures. So I wrote down as many as I could before it was my turn to go in, and I spent the evening just reading what the Word of God says about any subject. In the Bible, the word God is 3,890 times. That's a lot. But if you go to John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What a profound statement that it, I've been really blessed today about just any subject, anything, depression, anger, confusion. There's a one or many scriptures in the Word of God that God has placed there, and others have given their life so that we could have it. And it turns our whole world right side up the other way. I'm so thankful for the Word of God, and I don't want to take it for granted. I realized that reading the Word of God has more of an impact on me than just listening, because I do listen to the on tape, on the CD, and with my phone. But if I'll stop and read it, then I'm not as distracted, and God He will speak to me much more quickly if I will do that. And when I wrote those scriptures down, I thought about the service tonight and with the program. I love you, and I love Wild Bill for you're just wonderful. You and Joy Bell, I just can't tell you. You're the joy of my life, and because Joy naturally was the one that got us started on it, and she was going to call in tonight, so I hope, or listen in. Hope she has something to say. I didn't mean to just keep on talking, Sister Starla, but...
Oh, no, I thought it was good, but I've always wondered why it is that you get so much more out of reading the Bible than just listening. Even if you are attentive and listen carefully, there is just so much more there when you actually read it than listen to it. And it's, I don't know, I wonder why.
Well, a lot of people, and I am one of them, in school and growing up, it was harder for me to retain. And even now, in church service, they'll say, we have a special announcement. We're going to meet tomorrow night at 7 o'clock or something. You know, they'll give all the details. And instantly, I said, did they say Tuesday? Was it Thursday? Was it 7? And, you know, I can't. But if I read it, you know, if they hand out something or they put it up on the multimedia, I'll recall. And so I guess it's the cognitive skill, the ability for your eyes to retain. As you read something, you retain the information more than when you just listen to it. And then there are so many distractions listening, because there's other noises all around us. I read something, this is going to seem like it's changing the subject, but this subject is what made me think of it. I was, I get object lessons and things together for when I teach, especially with children, and it showed a picture in the science book of people going up and down an escalator, and it said, are they moving? And they were standing very still, and it was a picture. So technically, they were not moving as far as moving their body or, you know, their breathing and things like that. But they were absolutely moving because the escalator was going up and or down. So we perceive things sometimes like we can't really comprehend and see what the whole picture is. We must trust God. And He wants that relationship. He wants us to be like with Mary and Joseph. He chose them. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. He chose them. And I believe the ingredient that was in both of them is that they were willing, even though they did not and could not, there was no way. But they heard the voice of God, the messenger of God, and they were willing to obey, to walk, absolutely step out in faith. And I think that is awesome. I don't want to just spend the rest of my days looking at the escalator and saying, well, I could say, oh, they're not moving. And then you say, oh, well, yeah, they are moving. And you can go back and forth, you know, with all of the different, like you mentioned, the doctrines and the different people's authority, people that have authority, many times, and I'm not certainly not talking about my pastor or my church, but all of us have heard horror stories about people in churches with authority, the things that they have done. But we don't want to let that, because that is a negative, to make that the whole picture in our mind. Yeah, that is a negative. There are problems. But God is God, and God is in control, and God is all-powerful. And he is the creator and the keeper and the redeemer of all mankind. And it's just, when you look at it, go at it from that point of view, then you don't just go in circles, you know, like, what are they moving or are they not moving? You know, see what I mean? It's just, there's no end to that. Like people talking about politics, and I just get so weary sometimes of some of the non-productive ways that people talk about things. And because if you go to the Word of God, and that is our path, and that is our pattern, and that is our map, and he is our God, then we know that no weapon formed against the child of God, no weapon formed against the church of the living God, no weapon, I'm not talking about guns and things, I'm talking about anything that comes against the truth of God's word and our God, will prosper. And by prosper, that means it will not win. And so if our faith is solid and it's quiet in that, then we can really hear what God is saying, like Mary and Joseph. We will really hear. They could have panicked with all of the things that was going on, the destruction of the children, the hatred of the people that were in charge of the area. But they didn't. They had their ears and their eyes and their heart totally connected to what God was doing. And, oh, I want to be that way. And we can be. It's available. It is available to us. Okay, now I am going to be quiet. I didn't know I was going to say so much.
No, I don't know what I'd do without you. You add so much to the show. We have Paul Bill with us.
All right.
I'm going to try to turn my radio down while I'm talking so you guys don't get that echo that you love. I almost twisted my head off for it. For one thing, I'm stubborn. That show is going to play. So it may be July before I get it all to work, but it will play. But,
I love
it. One of the things that me and Blog Talk Mom was talking before the show when we was talking about Gandhi. And one of the things that just really struck at home, what he said was, is that, you know, he looked at the studies of Jesus and he liked what he had to say, but he didn't see Christians really following that. And that's something that the last couple of weeks, I go back to this a lot in my walk with God, looking at things and looking at some of the practices that we've established in our church services and looking at some of the practices that we put in our lives. And I wonder sometimes how far we have strayed from some of the things that God said were letting us know he wants to reason with us, but he didn't say reason it out and then just tell me what to do and that's how it is. It's not like Burger King where we can get it our way. And, you know, it's like, I don't know why this happened with the show tonight, you know, but I know it happened for a reason. I know when that weird stuff come on here, I'm like, man, have I got a different radio station? What in the world is going on? But everything happens for a reason, and we don't have to always know what it is. And the hard part of that whole thing, when you look at no weapon formed against us will prosper, I can look at my situation with my job, and I can think about how mean my boss has been to me and, you know, just trying to provoke me and different things that he's said and done. And, you know, he's got a little bit of that bully tendency to him just a little bit. And, you know, I just don't let it bother me. And that's not the story of the way my life has always been. There was a time in my life where someone raised up against me like that, and they'd been picking themselves up off the floor. You know, forget consequences, forget testimony. You get up my face like that, and, you know, you'd have been in big trouble. And I thank God that things change in that process where he works in our life. But I was looking back and saying, wow, thinking about, man, I'm so cool, I'm so good. And then I thought, yeah, well, just think back just a few years, you know, where you'd have been in this situation. And then it dawned on me, because you get to thinking that you're not moving ahead. But then things like this show me, like, yeah, process. I'm being refined. I'm being purified. And today I was trying to think the Lord's been dealing with me about doing something nice for my boss. And the scriptures keep coming back to my mind about, you know, do good to those that despitefully use you and things. And so today he was all bluster and just, you had to have been there to see it. And I said, yeah, well, hey, you're in charge here. Just want to make sure this is okay. But I want to buy pizza one day for the office for lunch as my Christmas gift to you guys and to let you guys know I appreciate, you know, what you do. And it just, you could have seen the look on his face. He stammered around. He couldn't get words to come out. He looked embarrassed like a little kid or something. But his countenance actually got brighter in that process. And so I was sitting there and I was amazed to see how he stammered and stumbled through. But I could feel that in the spirit that something broke, something that was there in practical application to my relationship with my the supervisor there at our terminal. He's really not my boss. I work out of that terminal, but with line haul, he's not my boss. And it really bothers him that I'm stationed out of there, but he don't have any control over any of us at all. But not just did it do something for him, but it let me realize some things, too, in myself, to, like, you know, not pat myself on the back, but, like, thank you, Lord, that, you know, you've done this in my life. You're the progression of things that I can see looking at this one situation from what could have been and what used to would have been for sure to what has actually happened. And I, instead of feeling good about myself, I thought, what a mighty God I serve that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And yet, I didn't even think about it, but for the last week, supervisors up above him have been calling him all week long. And, I mean, they've been just ripping him up one side down the other. And so during the time where he had just finished a couple of those calls and was out stomping out of his office, and I mean, already back here in his office one time, he went, ah! He just couldn't handle it after he hung up the phone from being chewed out again by one of the bosses. But yet, in one sense, I could see where God was fighting my battle. But in this one thing, you think, well, you know, man, I could take joy that, you know, everything's going bad for him. But what actually happened was is I took joy of the fact that I was able to bring brightness to his life, to lift all that heaviness of all the things that were going wrong, to show him that there is people out there that care about people, even though it didn't seem to be reciprocated back towards me. And I don't even know if I'm making sense with what I'm saying here, but it's just one of those things that, and I want to stress again, it's not nothing bragging about me. It's a process that things have changed that much, but God allowed me to see that today. And another thing that we just seem to forget sometimes as we read that scripture about no weapon formed against us will prosper, we forget about those people that were crucified upside down, fed the lions, watched their children put out in the arena for sport. You know, what that scripture means is that we have to look at the big picture sometimes to understand that no matter what they do to me, I win. If they cut off my head today, then guess what? I've won. My life here is over. My task before me, my race has been run. And so, but we don't want to look at things like that, do we? We want to put value on the things of life and what we have. And we kind of get our perceptions a little bit askew from what it should be. But that's the thing that I want to change in my life, to where I don't do that all the time. I want it to be to where I take stock of the spiritual things and understand that's how the disciples and Paul was able to run to the chop block, and how they were able to pray through their tormentors that would have to keep changing their guard because they was constantly being prayed through. And that's the kind of walk that I want to have. Okay, I'm done.
Well, that was a good word. Yeah, that was a praise report for sure.
I really appreciate the thought of what Wild Bill is saying is that it's not we can't measure whether just looking at something whether it's good or bad. We have to trust that God's going to make it. And then, you know, like that turn the other cheek and so many things, the few times that, very few, that I've ever done that, it was just like Wild Bill was talking about, all of a sudden my greatest joy was in seeing that I had allowed God to give me the ingredient that would turn something that was ugly very beautiful. He did it, but because I was willing to let him do it, I hate to say humble, I don't ever feel very humble, but, you know, I'm just agreeing with him that God's not just giving us rules to make us jump through hoops and whatever. He knows what will work. Love will work. Those types of things will work, not only now, but for eternity. It'll work. And I'm like Wild Bill, and I'm sure you and our listeners, that is available to us, but only through the power of the Spirit of God. And that's why he gave us his Spirit. You'll have power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that's all glory goes to the Lord. And he is so awesome. And I am so glad that your program didn't work tonight. No, I'm not really, but I all day I've been wanting to just talk with y'all and share what different things that's happened this day for me. It's just been a great and glorious day. And I think I'm going on that. This is the day, you know, the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Joy Bells was listening. She really planned on that, and I want to hear her sweet voice if she is on the air.
Well, I see no hand up, so I'm not going to catch her off guard.
Not going to do that. And also, we do sometimes fall asleep when late at night like this. But then back to the, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. The scriptures, if we would, you know, really meditate upon the Word of God and allow it to speak to us, this was excellent in the Bible that, like, how many of us feel stress? I mean, there's always stress. It's good stress, bad stress, whatever. But the Word of God and Jesus speaking said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Is that not beautiful?
It is.
It is so beautiful. And if we get that, First Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so right in the midst of whatever, you know, just, you know, I wasn't all that good at it, but I used to go fishing with a rod and a reel, and you just cast that out. You just cast it out. And I get that in my mind. Just take whatever it is that is making me unhappy or I'm allowing it to make me unhappy, worry, concern, whatever, and just cast it out into the nail-scarred hand that will always receive it because he cares for us. He loves us. Hebrews 13 and 6, 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you." That scripture today was so beautiful because I know all through the world there are people that are lonely for whatever reason, and the Lord said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Is that not beautiful? Oh, it is beautiful. The Word of God, it's beautiful. It is God speaking to us through these words, and we listen. He will. He's so close to us. He's just there, you know, right? I mean, sometimes we feel like he's not, but that's our feelings, because he's always there, never leaves us, never forsakes us. I just have all these scriptures. It's, and I will call upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I love that. The Lord will take my part. Well, Bill, you found that out as soon as you went that way with it. The Lord was right there, and he was helping you and bringing good and love into a situation that before had been tense. And I love that. I know our pastor years and years ago, he said, if somebody's done you wrong, bake them a pie. And I like chocolate, he said, you know, because he knew probably people that was upset at him for sure. But it really works. Even if it's pizza, it will work.
Amen.
We all don't have to talk, or I'll just keep reading these scriptures, because they have just done so much for me today. And, you know, we hear so much about, oh, it doesn't matter. But we all want to have peace of mind. We just desire that. And so John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace. He's talking about God. He's talking about him, his spirit. I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is that not, that's God speaking. That's something for us to really rely on and get comfort from. And there's just more and more, but I won't go that way. I don't want to take while Bill, you need to say some more, and Joy Bells and Sister Starla.
The word of God is good. Anytime.
It is. It's just to have this, as I mentioned, it had certain words, and then it would give scriptures. And forgiveness, you know, in the Lord's example prayer that he did, he linked our forgiveness with how we forgive others. And sometimes that almost seems scary, you know, if you've got feelings that you're struggling with, hurts or whatever, and you realize if you don't get rid of those, that's how God's going to judge you. Judge not that you be not judged. But then when you realize what he's really saying is, this is the door, this is the way, this is the key, you know, this is what you want, okay, this is how you get it. And that is so beautiful. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And you can read that, and it's sort of like the escalator in the person. You can just see one side of it, but when you go beyond that, I think the rest of the illustration was, if you were standing absolutely perfectly still, the world is moving. The earth is moving. We are moving. Whether, you know, we think we are or not, we are moving. And when we forgive, we set into motion a force. Woo, hallelujah. I just feel that in my heart, that's the force that we're looking for. That's what we desire. In other words, God's saying, you do this according to my plan and you will get what you desire. And you'll get it pressed down, shaken together, and running over, because that's God's plan. That's what he wants to do for us. Luke 17:4 says, if someone trespasses against you seven times in one day. Now, that's a lot. And seven times they turn and say, I'm sorry. You are to forgive them. Now, you think about that. Seven times somebody comes up and you, I think, oh, one, two, three. When he gets to eight, buddy. But then they ask him, it was 70 times seven, actually. And that's what seven said, 400 and something times. That's a lot of times to forgive. You know what God's saying? If you want power, if you want to see something supernaturally, powerfully done, forgive. No matter what, no matter what you don't understand, no matter what's coming your way, you forgive, and Almighty God will be there like we can't even start to comprehend, like with Mary and Joseph, what they were part of to bring in the Savior of the world and for Joseph to be the watchman there to raise him. I thought that was great. I appreciate Wild Bill for wanting to do it next week because it is good. Everything I heard was very good. There's another scripture. What? Oh, yeah, well, it was what, didn't you, is it something you didn't agree with? Or just the all
yeah,
the interruption
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's now only rap yeah, that we can do is what Sister Lively does. We're not going to do.
Yeah.
Oh me. Psalms 51 and really six verses, but they're very short. We can call out to God, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now, think of the words that are being used there. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude, tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And this is David writing concerning the whole situation with Bathsheba, the baby that died. Uriah, was it her husband, was it Uriah, that was so noble, and David was part of him, you know, losing his life. And that's what he's crying out now. Behold, he said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And I love that, with all of the crying out to God, with all of the, you know, seeking God for, according to his mercy, to blot out his transgression. And then he ends it, for thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Wisdom. This is what comes from all of these processes and everything. It's a wisdom, not just knowledge, not just information, but a wisdom that is a revelation of who God is and how great and mighty he is. I'm not going to just keep on. I may, but I shouldn't.
You sound like somebody eating chocolate.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't. No, it's all good.
We had our prayer meeting today. Bobelle said, text me that she'd been praying also, and it was a very I don't know, it's more like everybody was wanting to share what God had done, and it was amazing the intricate things that had taken place, and we felt like it was definitely connected to the prayer meetings, that we had asked God to put our petitions before him, and it just, I want to share something. I don't want everybody. But anyway, I'll just share it just like it was. I had a dental appointment this morning, and I had to be there at 8 o'clock. And I haven't been on this highway many times, but at around 7:45 or 7:30, it's unbelievable. I have never, I mean, the traffic, and they were they must have thought the speed limit was just a suggestion, as Wild Bill said, because they were moving on down the line. So I pull out in the traffic, and I'm going down the I'm going a little bit faster than the speed limit, so I don't get ran over. And all of a sudden, I start just worshiping God. It was just like this deep. I just don't have. I was just speaking in tongues and worshiping God, and I thought, oh, the Lord's keeping me from having a wreck. You know, someone's probably going to hit me or something, because it was really wild. And so I pull over and I get off of that main road and go around the back way, get to the dentist office and have a nice time visiting with, and I wanted to share that too about this wonderful testimony this lady gave. I was going to have to pay a certain amount of money that I didn't have. I was going to have to borrow it to get my teeth fixed. And anyway, I went in there and I noticed my teeth weren't giving me any problem. You know, talking to those people, laughing, whatever, there was no problem. So I get in there and the dentist does all that kind of stuff. He says, you don't need anything done to your teeth. They're perfect. They're just, and the nurse was just grinning from ear to ear. I thought, well, did the Lord heal my gut? You know, when I felt the Lord so strong in the car, because it was just amazing. And I thought, well, I shared my testimony, and I'm sure if he can fix my teeth, he can sure fix it in every other thing that we bring before him. It built my faith, and I laughed. It seemed like, you know, laughter is good like a medicine. I laughed. I don't know why it seems so funny, because, you know, there I'm in the dental chair, the whole setup, you know, and this is going to be really funny because I have an upper plate, everybody, if you're wondering the whole situation. It has been giving me fits. You know, I had the surgery. I don't know if I lost. I don't know, but it's been a pain in the neck. She could not get them out. She's got these rubber gloves on and she's I thought, wow. I mean, that's my testimony for today. But isn't that amazing?
It's just amazing.
I thought that was precious. Because I'm praying about some other things, so I thought, well, if he'll take care of that, he'll certainly take care of this other. And I had an opportunity to witness to my doctor about they're wanting me to continue this one particular medication that I'm not feeling that I should. So I had visited a small church, small compared to ours, precious little church, a little bit out of town about a month ago. And the young minister, I've shared this before, but he steps out halfway through his message. He just steps from behind the pulpit, walks down off the platform. And I'm a visitor. No, he doesn't. This is an evangelist. He doesn't know me. And he walks over and just begins to pray. And the Spirit of God moved throughout the whole congregation. People were praying through. It was just beautiful. And I have not had one. My heart has not skipped not one time since then.
Praise the Lord.
And
that is awesome.
So I was. It is. I told the doctor. He didn't really comment that much, but I believe he really heard it. You know, I was just telling him what happened. You know, I said, I have to know that happened. I mean, I can't say it any other way. I want to share the truth of what happened. And it did, and it was miraculous. So on that part, I'm not going to take, but just part of the medication, I'm going to take the more dangerous one. Everything is beautiful. God is just so awesome. And this is a beautiful, beautiful time of the year. Did I share with you about the Lord laying on my heart to give the lady that works so hard at Samaritan Heart a gift card to go to Cracker Barrel? Did I share that with you?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Can I share it right now?
Yes, you can.
I didn't know. I didn't know that the lady's son had committed suicide. I didn't. I think when she mentioned it, some memory there. But before that ever happened, I gave the lady for she and her mother to be able to go to Cracker Barrel, because they're very limited on their income. And it was a lot of fun. You know, she seemed just so happy about it. So I went to Cracker Barrel, which I don't do because it's a little pricey. Actually, it's probably not, but anyway, it's in another town. So I decided I would go, and I was thinking about, you know, Jim, on the farm, we had a fireplace. And Jim, my husband, was excellent at building big fires, and we loved that. So Cracker Barrel had their fireplace, and I asked them, could I sit, you know, close to it? And it just worked out. It was amazing. So I get to sit right in front of the fireplace, and I ordered the biggest breakfast that I can order. I mean, and I ordered extra whipped cream on top of it. I mean, I was really going to, whatever. And the lady walked over, the waitress, she said, somebody's paid for your bill. I can't tell you who, but your bill's been paid for. And I bust out crying. So she busts out crying. And she runs and grabs and hugs my neck. And then it was just dynamic the way that. And again, I'm on the same idea. If you give, you know, give, and it will be given to you. Now, we don't do it for that reason, not to manipulate God, not to manipulate the situation, but it's just a law. It's the law of God that it will work. And even if it doesn't in this life, our treasures are laid up in heaven. So we can't lose, is my favorite statement. Just can't lose. It's what we use. I'm going to start asking you questions, yeah. Sister Charlotte, so you can talk.
Okay. No, I really enjoy your story. That is good. All the time.
It is. It is just so sweet. He's just so sweet. The little Salvation Army bell ringers. And I love them. You know, I don't know what the whole, I'm not pushing any particular part of anything, but those people standing there ringing that bell all day long, it just doesn't take a lot to go in there and get them a soda and bring it back. And they just seem like they are so happy. But you have to ask them what they like to drink.
I would have trouble with that. Yes, that's what, you know, it's not like you could surprise them because you'd have no idea. That would stop me right there in my tracks.
Well, now I did surprise a couple and they didn't have any problem at all drinking Coke.
they were, wow.
But I do have that kind of boldness somehow or other, and I say, you know, Subway's right there, and I'd like to get you a soda, what particular flavor, and they'll always tell me, and then I go and get one.
Oh, wow.
And then they can go, and I think you get refills. I'm not really sure. Maybe not. But it really makes a difference. And another thing, if you stand there and you're doing something with them, it makes other people they'll start coming up and putting money in the little deal that they have. You can't give them money, but you can get them, you know, any whatever you want to get. Candy bar or just, I like doing that. That's just an easy way.
Yeah.
It's fun, isn't it? It brings joy to your heart. Speaking of joy, Joy Bell?
Yeah, she's off the grid right now.
She was a real blessing to me with some situations that she's gone through, and she quoted, you know, we talk about the Word of God and how it's fascinating that once the Word of God is in a person, like the train up a child in the way it should go, when its soul will not depart, I believe that once the Word of God is in our heart, then the Spirit of God can move upon that. You know, that's why I just teach it and share it and bring up your children with the Word of God, and then when they say something, then the Holy Ghost can. Because there's an amazing amount of people right now, some of the children that I'm working with that go to public school, there's an amazing amount of children that are very vocal that they are atheists. And they are very vocal about it, adamant about it. And so I'm trying to share with these children, what does the Bible say? Because if they say, well, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. Why tell them? Well, that's not the point. They don't believe, but they're not, they've got, it's the Word of God that will have power, that will, God can quicken it, make it alive, and give them understanding. That's why I love Bible studies. It's giving people Bible studies. It just can't, the Word of God cannot return void. And then there's other, you know, if they'll come feel the presence of God. A young girl that's in college called me, and she said that one of the girls at school in the college had asked her if she could be forgiven. She had had an abortion, and she didn't really think she could ever be forgiven. And the enemy was using that so strongly to block her. And so she came to the prayer meeting that night at the church, and the Spirit of God moved on her beautifully. She understood the forgiveness of God. Before she left, she was baptized in Jesus' name. And
praise
they said that
God.
She was just on. Isn't that something? How the power of God to forgive and his desire to forgive and the price that he paid so that we could be forgiven. And yet the enemy would like to try to, you know, was trying to push her back. And that young girl that was living a good, godly life and being faithful to the house of God, and that God could flow through her. You know, the light shines in darkness. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. It's just that's the way it is. But we can let things block, I'm sure, you know, through our own discouragements, or and that everything Wild Bill said was right along the exact thought that I had, that from what Mary and Joseph and what each of us have done when we face so many heartaches, and then we turn it, we allow God to just turn it. So that was really a praise report from him.
Yes, it was. They really have really been mean to him. But God is good. He's faithful. And he's a redeemer.
He is. He does. I love that word. I love that word. And it was in the midst of all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul, well, to all of the disciples, as Wild Bill said, that they were their strongest. They were them. I think even the shadow of Simon Peter, just his shadow, people were healed. That his shadow would fall upon. I mean, that's amazing. To have that type of anointing on. But look what they, as Wild Bill said, they were all manner of persecution, imprisonment, death. And yet, none of that overcame anything. It's amazing to me. And I believe that it's available. And we're not going to know it's available until we face heartache, struggle. And when we are overcomers, 9 times, I think, in the book of Revelation, to he that overcometh, you got to have an obstacle or you couldn't be an overcomer. But all the blessings and all of the promises are to the overcomer.
Well, don't get quiet on me.
Well, I was just thinking about telling Wild Bill not to ever play anymore. Of course, that wasn't his idea. But the rapping music. I listened to some rap this week, and I thought, you know, I'm not really rapping. I think the music is, you know, sort of rapping, or, you know, got a lot of rhythm to it, but I'm really just quoting like poetry more than all those other sounds.
I can't tell in rap songs like that. I can't tell what they're saying.
No,
I
can't either.
Not good. It didn't feel very spiritual to me.
No, but there's one gentleman that he and his son are rapping, and they're apostolic, and it is, mm-hmm. I can hear it. It's very good. And the son is just the cutest thing there was. I think he's about 12, and he was talking about being saved and knowing Jesus, and it was really good. So I guess, you know, we can use things. We're allowed to use things as long as we don't abuse them. And there's a fine line, but even with Southern gospel or any other kind of music, there's just a fine line there where you are no longer really glorifying God. But there's mm-hmm. different things that they really connect. I mean, I can tell that young people especially connect to the rapping CD. Because it's scripture, really. And if anybody would like to go to YouTube under Bobby Lively or Lyrical Lively, I'm so happy about that. I don't know who did that. Well, I do know CD Baby is who somehow or other, the people that do my music, mm-hmm. that's part of it. It's registered with that. I don't really understand any of that, but I am glad that it's on YouTube, and I would love for people to listen to it and share it with others. You have to watch with YouTube. Some of it is, it's just about everything you can imagine is on there. Brother Lee Stonking has some wonderful sermons. And also there's a group that teaches. It's good, isn't it? Very, very good. And God's Generals, if you want to look that up, it's all about through time, especially since Azusa Street, great revivals that we've had in the United States, great revivalists, people that have really consecrated their life and the hardships that they faced. It's very, very good. I would recommend that to anybody that can get YouTube on their phone. Okay. Is Wild Bill around?
No. There's a place where he can't, where he doesn't have signal at all coming home.
Oh. Well.
Well, we want to thank you so much for what you add to the show, Blog Talk Mom. We love you so much.
Well, thank you, and you're great. Y'all are great. I was just bragging on you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's Wild Bill's intention to come back and take another look at Jesus during Christmas. And maybe we'll get back with that next week. And we pray that you all have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.